message called Making Room for Jesus. And how many had plans already for today? I mean, you got plans you made. And how many's got plans for next week already? The holiday and stuff. So, you know, we got plans. And when something's important to us, we make room for it, don't we? We adjust our schedules. We do something to make things happen. And, you know, God, which includes the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, several years ago had this awesome plan. And the plan was he was going to send a Savior to the world to save mankind. The thing is, though, is this has happened before he ever made us. Now, does it seem perplexing? Why are you going to make something that has potential that you're going to have to save this something? I mean, why can't we make something that you don't? But, you know, the thing that he gave us was a free will. He gave us that choice. He didn't create us imperfect. He didn't create us. He created us with a free choice. And then that choice happened that, unfortunately, the scripture says that all have sinned, because all of us choose. We choose from the very beginning. We choose to sin. So he knew that we're going to need a Savior. So he had this already planned because God is love. You know, there's a lot of stuff sometimes we don't understand. We wonder what's happening. But bottom line, there's things when we don't understand, we can always go back and rest in the fact that God is love. That we can rest in his character. You know, sometimes when you don't understand somebody, you don't know what you're talking about. You ever had somebody but you knew them. You knew who they were and you knew you could trust them. Well, that's the way God is. That we can trust him with that. And the Bible says in Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even when he came, he still knew that this plan, he still was making room. He still gave us opportunity for that choice to be made. And in John 8:37, Jesus was talking, I shared this a little bit last week, that he was telling the teachers and leaders of Israel back then, said, you know, I mean, these people, they were going to church. Well, what was their church? Every week. I mean, their community was based on the scriptures. So, I mean, this is scriptures. And yet, he said to them, he says, you don't have room for my word in your heart. So there's something about, you know, these people had, they knew the Bible. But somehow there was this place, the Bible was here in their heads, and it wasn't down here. Not all of them, but some of them, lots of them, was not down here in the heart. And so through the scriptures, we begin to see how God began to make room for the Savior and how he began to look for people and began to search for people whose hearts would make room for him. And I shared last week that even in the book of Genesis, right of Genesis 3, he began to speak about a Savior. And Genesis 3 talks about that he was going to send a Savior to save us. And then throughout the whole Old Testament, we continue to see over and over again prophecies and scriptures about the Messiah and different ones like Moses. Moses said that God was going to raise someone up just like me, who's going to lead people into salvation, lead people to freedom. The whole, again, the essence of what God was wanting to do was to bring us freedom and have a relationship. It wasn't just to find people to do a job or to say, okay, I wonder how many people went to synagogue this week. You know, it wasn't statistics. It wasn't facts. It wasn't numbers that he was looking for. It was a relationship. He wanted to have relationship with us. And there was only one way that was going to happen. Because of our sin, he needed to provide a Savior. He needed to provide a way that could happen. And so throughout Scripture, there's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of Scriptures that talk about Jesus coming. So even throughout that, he was making room for the Savior to come. And it was up to us to receive it. Like Abraham, he told him, he said, you know, I want you to go over here. Now, over here wasn't like moving from here to three streets over. You know, he was moving. Abraham was 70 years old, and he moved from over by Babylon, over in this one area. And it wasn't just across this road or down a highway. He had to go way up on a donkey and all this stuff. And, I mean, it took a long time. And it was very inconvenient because he was leaving everything he was familiar with. But he was making room. Whenever we obey God, Whenever we listen to his word and we obey him, we make room for a Savior. We have the, and I don't know what your guys' tradition is. I don't know what you do for Christmas, but we usually read the Christmas story, and we, you know, all through the Bible. And last week I shared a little bit about the wise men, how they came, and yet they were looking for the King of Israel, and for them, they made room to realize there's a Savior out there. There's a Savior that we're going to go find, this King of Israel, because God revealed it to us. And so they were looking. The thing is when they found him, he was in his house. We don't know what it looked like. You know, it just says there was a house. We don't know the time exactly in that. But I'm sure as they were going along, they probably were picturing what this event was going to look like. Wow, you know, we're going to go see a king. You know, we're going to see the King of Israel. We're going to see what is this going to be like. And they were picturing, but, and I'm sure it wasn't a really nice house. I mean, Joseph, he had to move, leave his livelihood in Nazareth, where he probably had an established business, and he had to leave and start in Bethlehem, and he started all over, started making things. So I'm sure it wasn't a big, big thing. But, you know, when they got there, whatever this house looked like, it didn't deter them. It didn't matter, because they weren't looking for a house. They were looking for the king. You know, and sometimes we can get caught up in the fact of what it looks like that God's doing so much that we haven't, that it messes it up. We say, that can't be it. You know, we could go by to that house and say, no, I don't, maybe there's some, that star must have got off somewhere, because no king could live in that house. I mean, that is not where he lives. You know, maybe we missed the town or missed a route or something. Or, you know, you can start questioning that. Bishop Bill Hammond, I don't know if some of you guys know him, is head of Christian National, or started that ministry. He said there's the way to find God's will for your life. He says, first of all, there's the word, and we know God's will for in the word. And then, you know, there's his will, knowing that. And then the Holy Spirit, we know that. But he said the biggest thing that most people get caught up on is the way. It says, but God, this isn't the way I thought it was going to be. This is the way I pictured it. I figured it. And then we might quit, you know. But the wise men, they didn't quit there, because they made room just to trust God. Yes. God, you said this. This is what I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to trust you and just receive as I go along here whatever you want to do. And then we mentioned, you know, there's one of the main players in this whole thing is Mary. I mean, talk about making room for Jesus. You know, and it wasn't a simple thing. It wasn't like she won this award and got an easy life. It was like, hey, you win. You're going to be Jesus' mom. You know, here's your prize. It's not like, what is that, Price is Right. Come on down, you know. And it wasn't that. I mean, she went through a humiliation and through, and even the prophecy, Simeon prophesied to her. He says, you know, the sword is going to pierce your heart. And then she's thinking, well, this isn't what I volunteered for. This isn't what I pictured motherhood to be like and wife. And yet she still made room for Jesus, still made room for the Savior, saying, here I am, God. What do you want to do? You know, sure, it's going to be, there's going to be some hard roads. Sure. I mean, she was probably eight months pregnant or more, probably about maybe 6 or 7 months when they left Nazareth, because that's a long trip down through there. And had to go to Bethlehem. I mean, how would you like moms, those are moms, to be like 8 or 9 months pregnant and have to ride a donkey, you know, for whatever that is. I think it's 90 miles, 80 miles on back roads, you know, with possibility to bandits and everything else. I mean, that's not going to be too much fun. So it wasn't like this was a convenient thing for her. And yet she still made room for Jesus. And then Joseph, you know, again, he struggled. But he still made room. You know, God's not afraid of our struggles. He's not afraid of anything, really. You know, but it's the fact of he allows things to process. Sometimes we have to give people space to process. Yes. Sometimes we can put this idealistic view like, well, you're a Christian. This is what you should be like. And you should never struggle again. And you should never have a problem. You know, but it's like, no, give people space. You know, let's give people space to work through things. Let's be there for them. Let's pray. Let's support them. You know, we're not going to say, yeah, go for it. You know, go ahead, go out there and struggle. You know, go, but let's help them and pray for them, but still give people space to work through and grow up. It was like a parent. You know, I mean, your kids was like immediately that we want them to be totally educated, be able to walk, run, drive a car. It's like, well, wait a minute. Let them struggle. Let them fall. I mean, my niece, she's, how old is Avery? Nine months. We were with her yesterday, and she's learning to walk. And so she's doing pretty good, you know, but she's falling and everything. I mean, let's let them grow up. Let people grow up and let them have chances to make room for the Savior. But, you know, this story, there's people in this story also that didn't make room. And one of them, if you read through, is Herod, King Herod. When King Herod heard about Jesus, he didn't receive him as Savior. He saw him as competition. And there's times, even I'm going to, in my life, that sometimes when Jesus is wanting to do something, do I could see it as competition for what I want? And am I making room? It's like now there's this pull. It says, I don't know. You know, Jesus, I know you want to be king and Lord of this area of my life, but I have this plan. I want to have this. So there's this struggle. And King Herod, in his mind, because he did not make room, he ended up doing a lot of bad stuff. He was already chose to do that. You know, typically, what people don't choose immediately to do some major sin. Usually it's little by little by little by little. You keep giving room for ourselves or for the sinful nature. Same thing with God. It's giving room for him. It's choices. It's daily, sometimes moment by moment choices. You know, we train. There's things called muscle memory. You ever muscle memory? It's like you did something. Like one of them is like riding a bike. Once you learn to ride a bike, you can probably get on a bike and ride it no matter how long you haven't ridden a bike. Well, the same thing in our spiritual training. There's muscle memory, our spiritual training, that we could train ourselves. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy, train yourself to godliness. So there's things we could train ourselves so that when I look at a person, this is a big part of it. When you look at somebody, what do you see? We could train ourselves to look at somebody and judge them. We could train our past. We could train ourselves to look at them as the world. Or we could train ourselves to think, God, what do you want me to see in that person? That's part of training. And that training will begin to work through your whole system. It's just like Jesus said about this yeast. He said, be careful of the yeast of the world because it can work through our whole system. The yeast, the thoughts of how the world thinks, how the world sees, how the world makes decisions. He says, be careful of that because it can work through our whole life. Same thing goes with God. There's the Holy Spirit. As we give room to him and make space for him, it can work through our whole system and we can walk and live that life. Another person that we look in this story was the innkeeper. You know, there's some things we can see and look at that when we see the Savior, like Herod, he was competition. But sometimes we just don't know. We don't know God. We don't know what God wants to do. We don't know what the answer is. We don't know how something. So the innkeeper, he didn't know. You know, Mary and Joseph came and here, I don't have any room. I don't know if he owned the stable. You know, I know the stories, some of them make it sound like, but whoever owned the stable, but he said, I don't have any room. Now, if he probably knew this was the king of Israel, this is the Messiah, the Savior, this is God, would he have changed? Would things have changed? Would he have went to some of his guests and said, hey, you're out there, he's in. You know, and it's like, there could have been a change there in his heart. But, you know, sometimes we don't know. But how do we then find out? That's why, as Christians, it's so important that we're Bible. We're in the Bible. There's so much we can learn. God gave us this not just to put on our shelves or not just so it can be the number one bestseller year after year. God gave us this so it can change our lives, so we can know him. I mean, this book doesn't change my life. It's who wrote this book and who this book tells me about, and that's what changes my life. Because this book is a letter to and a story about him, and it's information about him and tells me about him and helps me understand Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father and about myself and about mankind. That's what this book tells me about and shows me. The Holy Spirit teaches me. So that's one way that we come to know him. We come to know him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I am sending the Holy Spirit to you. If you read in John 15, 16, it says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit so he can show you about me. That's what he said. He could teach you about me. He teach you, you know, and it's not just from this book. He teaches you in life. He teaches you through nature. He teaches you through people. And the other way he reveals it is to us, to his church. That God reveals himself through each other. You know, and each one of us, that's what he needs, each one of us. Because how he reveals himself in Sarah or Tom or Holly or Marilyn, how he reveals himself through you is not how he reveals himself to me, but we need to see him in you. Because we need to see Jesus through you. And then you multiply that to our church, you multiply that to the kingdom. We need one another. We need the Christians over in Iraq, Iran, in China, you know, in Africa. We need them. We need to see Jesus in them. Because all of that reflects who he is and helps us come to understand him. There's another group of people that was around. It was sort of a fraternity there in Israel because it was Herod who called these ones. And it was the teachers and leaders and the high priest. Now, high priest, I mean, this is the person who was in the know. This is like the point person of who should be knowing what's going on. That's why Herod called him and says, hey, come over here. I mean, these wise people came over here, wise men from the east, and they're talking about this Messiah, this king. So what do you know about this? Now, here's Herod, the king, and he didn't know. He's the head of the... And so the wise man, or so Herod called these teachers and the leaders, and he asked him to come and say, okay, where was this Messiah to be born? And they told him, but yet they didn't respond. They didn't respond. They and you wonder, you know, that he's talking about a star. You would think if you were the high priest and you were looking for this Messiah and you were the teacher's law and these people talked about this star, you might go looking for it. They didn't. They weren't there. They knew what was going on. Sometimes, you know, I can know stuff, but the knowledge does me no good unless I apply it to my life, unless I make it part of my life. I can know all kind. I can read this book, which I have many times, and I can memorize all kinds of stuff, the dates and people and everything. But if it doesn't bring me into a relationship with God, if it doesn't help me stay close to him, then it's just works. It's just, I'm not going to say it's useless, because the word of God is powerful. You know, whether it's you know, whatever, you know, I believe very important that we're speaking the word of God and preaching the word of God. But it's something that when we are reading the scriptures, when we're looking for God, there's a lot of people out there that I believe have a lot of seed in them, that just waiting for that to drop in to that good soil, just waiting for them to make room for Jesus in their heart and for their life to change. We sang about a group of people this morning, the shepherds. Now, can you imagine? It's not like these guys were seeking anything. It's not like they were reading their Bibles or they were in church, you know, or they were worshiping. They were just doing their job. They were sitting around. It's probably cold, you know, at night, and they were guarding, they were watching, they were just there, they were just going through life, and these angels showed up. And, I mean, picture yourself. I mean, let's say you're just sitting there at your job or you're something, and all of a sudden, poof, you know, these angels show up and start telling you about this Messiah coming. And you know, I'm going to guess the shepherds probably knew about that because it was part of their culture. You know, the Messiah and this hope in Israel, that it was part of their culture. So they probably heard about it, but that's not what they were doing that night. They were doing their job. I mean, they were protecting the sheep and watching for bandits and people to rob and steal and for lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And so they were watching for all this stuff. And as these angels showed up, and you know what they did? They made room for Jesus. Because the Bible says when these angels start telling about, there's this great thing, God's come and he's brought a savior. He wants peace on earth and goodwill to men. And he's got all these wonderful things. And you know, so they're watching all this. And they told him where it was going to be. It's in the town of Bethlehem. Well, you know, they weren't like the leaders and chief priests in Israel. They went. They went and found. Listen, the first thing they said, it says, let us go and find this thing. Let us go. They didn't know what they were looking for. They just knew this. These people said this. These angels said this. Let's go find this. And so they responded. They made room for God's word. They made room for responding to what he was saying to them. You know, one of them I mentioned, Simeon. Simeon was a in Jerusalem when they brought Jesus to dedication. He had not seen Jesus. He had not seen any of this. But he said that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that, I'm going to read it, says, has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so he knew that God put in his heart. Now, I've heard other people take on this promise and say, well, I know God told me that I'm not going to die before Jesus comes back. I said, well, then you're the only one who knows that in the whole world, because not even Jesus knows when he's coming back. And so I don't count that. But this one, he says that he did that. And it says that he was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple. How many can relate to that? Where the Holy Spirit moved you. You felt the Holy Spirit told you or sent something. You know, part of walking in the Christian life is trusting God. Trusting, this is the Holy Spirit. I know when our girls were growing up, one of the things Lois was trying to help them identify, that was the Holy Spirit. You know, part of it is learning to hear his voice, is learning to identify what his voice sounds like. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's moving me to do this. Holy Spirit's speaking to me. You know, this dream I had, or that when I was reading this, or I heard this song, that was the Holy Spirit. So he says the Holy Spirit moved him to go in the court. So he was already, he already made room for the Savior. He already made room, and he identified him. I mean, there was a lot of people there. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, okay, let's look for who's dressed like a Savior or who's dressed like the mom and dad of a Savior. It had to be the Holy Spirit said, that's the one. And there was another, there was a lady there named Anna. She's a prophet. And the same thing, she came up out of all the people, the Holy Spirit. She made room for the Savior. The Holy Spirit moved on her. It says when this is when they went on the eighth day to dedicate Jesus at the temple. She went, and again, she said, this is him. This is the one. And so these ones continue. And, you know, and once Jesus came, the purpose of his coming is that we would make room for him. It wasn't just to be have it as a historical fact. Do you know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most documented historical fact ever, and in ancient history, ever. And so these other people, John the Baptist, you know, he made room. It's interesting, he made room before he even was born, because the Bible says that he leaped when he heard Jesus' mother's voice. He leaped. And so there's this sense that he made room for Jesus. The apostles, when Jesus called them, they made room. They responded. Some of them, they had a good business. Some of them, you know, Peter and John and James and Andrew, they had a good fishing business. They had to, because they had workers. I mean, there was a partnership. So something was going on there. And we don't know exactly, but they were going through life, and yet they made room. They responded. You know, Jesus' brothers, his family, did not respond. His brothers didn't even believe he was the Savior. The whole time he was on, all the stuff he saw, they saw the same miracles as everybody else. But they did. They were struggling with this. You know, in fact, they tried to encourage him. You know, why don't you go out and go to Jerusalem and get killed? You know, basically was, you know, because he knew they were looking for him. So his brothers, it was not until after his resurrection that his brothers believed in him. And his brother James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. The book of James in the Bible was written by Jesus' brother. It wasn't written by John's brother. And so these ones continue to make room for him. So who else does God, who did God come? Did he come just for a special few? I know there's some beliefs that believe that. We don't believe that. We don't believe that God has a select few and that's all who's going to make it. We don't believe that. Well, it's not just us. I don't believe God teaches that. We believe that he came for all. In fact, there's some scripture in 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. There's Sally and Josh, I think you were the ones telling us we're coming over. Were the ones said about Merry Christmas to nearly? They said they went by, was that on a church or was a small business? It had a sign that says, Merry Christmas to nearly everybody. I think, okay, who are we missing here? I don't know. So what Jesus isn't saying, I'm going to be a savior to nearly everybody. He says, no, he wants to be a savior to everyone. In 1 Timothy, Apostle Paul wrote this, by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit put this on his heart. He said, he's talking about God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So it's God's heart that everyone makes room. If our musicians come back up, everyone makes room for the Savior. I shared this verse last week in Hebrews 4:7. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So question today is, have we made room for him? One is, have we made room for him to be our Savior? For because he came that we may have eternal life. But not just making room for eternal life, but making room for an abundant life. The whole Christian life is not just eternal life. It's not just going to heaven. It's an abundant life. It's the fullness of life. There was a story in the book of Acts when all the apostles were arrested. They put him in jail. And they were going to come out, have him come out, talk to him the next day. And his angel came and let them all out, brought them out to the temple. And this is what the angel told them. So the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. This is in Acts 5:20. And the angel said this, go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. He didn't tell them, go and tell people how to get to heaven. He said, there's this abundant life. There's all these wonderful things that God has for us. It's not just a ticket that we get into heaven one day. It's an abundant life for every day, every moment that we can have this abundant life. He says, go and tell them about that. That commission is for us too today, to tell people about the fullness of life. Yes, the part of that is getting to heaven. That's an important part, you know, that you know that. But also to know him and to know this abundant life. We go ahead and stand. You know, we talked about Christmas.
Whoa.
We talked about Christmas, and part of that, we gifts. You know, and it is very, very important. When we get a gift, how many like it when you get a gift, the person you gave that gift to appreciates it? You know, part of this whole gift of Jesus is for us to appreciate. If we want to make room for Jesus, first of all, it's a heart of worship. It's a heart of worshiping him, recognizing him as God, and appreciating him. That doesn't mean all of a sudden we understand every single thing there is. All of a sudden now, I got this book memorized. So what it is that I'm saying, God, I know you want what's best for me. I know you love me. And I'm going to worship you as God. And I just trust that you will reveal and continue to reveal yourself to me. So I'm going to ask, if you're willing to say, Lord, I just continue want to trust you, and I'm going to ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to me and help me to make choices. I know Pastor Ron, as he was sharing, opening up those boxes. Well, untying what we do when we untie is we're untying parts of our life. We're untying our heart to say, I'm making room for you, Jesus. I'm making room for that abundant life. I'm making room to believe those promises you have. The promises in here. You know, the promises in here are for you. That's why it's so good. Look in here. Pray those promises. Believe them. Declare them. Pray them for other people. Pray them for your family, your friends. Because this is the heart of God that he wants for us. So Holy Spirit, Father God, we just thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for this day and across the earth, Lord.
that ones or many millions and millions are looking to you this day. We walk up, Lord, that ones even deeper would make room for you as a savior of our life, a savior from ourselves, a savior from the things of this earth and that are not of you, Lord. Lord, your heart desires because you love us. You want us to be free. Anything that entangles us, God, you want us to be free from. We walk in your Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, this day, and we agree for strength in our spirit to make room for you, God, in every life. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our personal ministry team if they would come up. And these ones that would be up front here, they're here to pray with you. If you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ and received him, then this would be a great day to do that. Great day to receive that great gift. Or if there's anything else that you want prayer for, whether it's physically or just relationally, you just want somebody to pray with you. That's what these ones are here for. But we're going to close with a song. Mike's going to close this, and we're going to sing and then pray. But before you run off, just maybe take a couple minutes. God bless a couple of people around you, but enjoy the rest of your day, whatever that's going to be, with friends or family. But most of all, know that in the midst of all of it, Jesus came that you may have life and have it to the full.